Welcome, everyone, to another episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is the show designed to bring you the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace trends that are changing the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around us. Our goal is to find guests that can bring insights into the trends shaping their workplace in the hopes that something they say may make each of us a little bit better at whatever it is they do. And today will be no exception. For those that are familiar with my work, for the past many years, I have studied the demographic shifts in the workplace and the marketplace. It's been 20 some odd years doing this. And in so doing, I've learned the generations that make up our workplace. And I work with my clients to better understand those generations. For example, how do we sell more stuff to the millennials? How do I recruit and retain more Gen Xers? What's wrong with my Generation X managers? Why do they cause so much turnover? Which is a fun conversation. How do I meet my baby boomers' children who are potential clients of mine? Things of this nature. And we continue to study this stuff. It's constantly evolving. And one of the things that we have to do in my business is keep an eye on the next generation. Who are they? What values are they showing? Today's show is going to be a deep dive. Well, let me not say that. It's going to be a dive into the next generation. They're younger than the millennials, born since roughly 2000, and they go by many different names. The two most popular that I see are Gen Z. So Gen Y is also known as the millennials. Millennials equal Gen Y. And the generation to follow Gen Y is obviously going to be Gen Z. And another term for them is the iGen, as in a lowercase I, iPod, iMac, iPhone, iWatch. Whatever, iGen. And again, born since the year 2000, they're the next workforce. And many of them are already moving into the workforce. I've got some healthcare clients that are employing quite a few of them, particularly as their people in healthcare are hard to hire. So they're moving younger and it's proving fruitful for them. Nevertheless, today we're going to interview a member of Gen Z, also known as the iGen. And after accepting nearly, I think the number was 750,000 applications to be interviewed for this opportunity here on my radio show, we have selected one. Her name is Rainey Marston. Who is she? She's my daughter. She's my 18-year-old daughter. She's been in college for a couple of weeks now, just called to let me know she got a speeding ticket. And I let her know that no, you'll be paying for that, not me. But we're going to talk to her about her outlook for the world, outlook for the job marketplace, her outlook for college. And is it fair to say that she represents all millions upon millions of members of her generation? No. But she is the one who I'm asking these questions of. And what you're going to hear is, frankly, a homage to a chapter in my family's life, a conversation that I wanted to record with her in the studio to capture her beliefs and her thoughts and things like that so that we can reference it someday in the future and laugh and giggle about that day together. However, along this process and in this conversation, she says some things that I think are insightful, and my job is going to be interpret these for the listener. So we'll be jumping in and out of this interview with my daughter, and I'll be giving you context to what she's saying. Things like religiosity, things like birth order trends, things like the education of males, which is something that we've talked about in a previous episode, all of which will help you get an idea around this next generation of employee. One of the challenges that many places face is trying to meet a client's child. And this is a conversation that I have a lot in my financial services clients. And one of my financial services clients that comes to mind is the professionals at Sandifer Wealth Management. You'll find some of the most honest and professional and helpful people out there. And if there was ever a company or a group of financial professionals interested in taking care of both their current clients and their next generation of clients, You'll find them at Sander for Wealth. If you're one of these people who's about to cash out of a 401k or any one of these kind of cash out moments that people face towards the end of their career, and your interest is in taking care of the next generation, they'll be able to help with some good advice and some good ways to think about what that may look like. Give them a call at Sander for Wealth Management. When we come back, we'll be playing the interview. I'll be opening with my opening comments to my daughters. We started the tape in the studio, and then I'll jump out of that conversation to give some context to these conversations. So it's going to be a little bit different this time, but hey, it's my show, and I got the radio, and I think it's good content, most importantly. We'll be right back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston.
I'm Eric Cromwell. The law firm of Cromwell & Associates can help guide your decisions regarding the life you've created with estate planning tools like wills and trusts. We've planned meetings with first-generation business owners and large multi-generational family groups. With locations in Mobile and Fairhope, we can assist you and your family through every stage of life. To learn more, call 251-605-9075 or find Cromwell & Associates on Facebook.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit springhilltoyota.com today. It's just that easy.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer, now offering the purchase of the Stella Artois Chalice, a beautiful stemmed glass with the Stella logo. The purchase of each Stella Artois Chalice provides 5 years of clean water for someone in one of 13 developing countries around the world. Learn more at stellaartois.com. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
A cool thing happened back in 64. That's when Keith Air Conditioning opened their doors. And ever since then, they've earned your family's trust. Fixing your AC when it bites the dust. So call Keith Air Conditioning, they're number one. Keith Air Conditioning, they get it done. Award-winning service, done with pride. With Keith, you're gonna sleep in comfort tonight.
Three generations and two names you can count on, Keith and Carrier. Hi, this is Brent Keith. Turn to the experts is not just a tagline in my family, it's a promise. Every technician is an experienced air conditioning professional. Their money-saving experience and expertise diagnoses your problem accurately and efficiently. Speaking of money, we're offering $25 off our introductory price for a total comfort maintenance plan. And ask about our specials on new Carrier systems. Keith and Carrier, the experts you turn to.
Mobile's leading name in comfort since 1964.
License number 83731.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. I'm in the studio with someone who is very special to me. So this is Rainey Marston. She's 18 years old. She graduated from high school this past year. She starts as a freshman at Ole Miss Monday. And I'm here to get the point of view of an 18-year-old as they leave for school. Because I was this person one time, but it was a long time ago, and things have changed. My beautiful daughter, welcome to What's Working.
Hello.
Looking at your father like he's strange.
Okay. A little bit.
So you're 18, you're going off to college. I'm curious, what does the world look like to an 18-year-old today? Tell me the way you see things.
Well, obviously, I can't speak for everyone who is 18 years old, but I think I view the world in two different aspects.
Go.
I think that part of the world is very complicated and it's divided, very uneasy, but I also think that the world is beautiful and has a lot of opportunities for people my age, and it's very hopeful.
Well, that's an optimistic point of view, that there are some complexities, but there is opportunity. Tell me what some of the complexities are. Tell me what you see as the complexities.
Well, I was on TikTok the other day, and I saw somebody talking about people are thinking that if you don't agree with them, then you're against them. And I was thinking that's actually a really good view. People are, if you don't agree with their opinions, then you're against them. It doesn't mean that you're against them, but you just have a different point of view, but people don't accept that. And I think that's...
That's a problem.
Upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that if you don't agree with me, you're anti-me. It's not a debate. It's not a conversation to be had. There's no curiosity of others' points of view.
Exactly.
And tell me how you deal with that on a daily basis.
Well, it's probably not the right thing, but I just don't like to get into arguments that much because then it's like people get upset and things end up bad. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just conflict, and I'm not really with conflict.
You've had a somewhat of a liberal arts education in your high school years. You've been taught to evaluate arguments. You've been taught how to argue.
Yes.
How does this show up with your friends today? And your guys are sitting around, hanging out, talking, and someone comes up with a point of view that you disagree with. Do you explore that disagreement or do you just avoid that conversation completely?
I don't avoid it. I like to show my point of view also, and they voice their opinion. And most of the time it ends up that we agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Nobody's really going to give up their point of view. So.
What? All right. So let's go to the other thing that you mentioned, opportunity, that there's a lot of opportunity out there. You're 18 years old on the precipice of a big life change. What does opportunity look like to you?
I think it looks like doing whatever makes you happy, whatever your dream is. You get to explore that, maybe change your dream, figure out what it is, fail a lot, but keep going.
So there's a lot of graduation speakers out there and they talk every spring, and this is kind of stuff that I talk with my clients about. They talk about every spring during graduation season, whether it's high school or college or something else, that you should go live your dream. You should find your bliss and things of that nature so that it doesn't feel like work what you're doing. What do you think about that?
I hope that that's what my life is like eventually.
Is it realistic?
I don't know. I think that some parts of it will be. I think... For me personally, doing one thing for too long kind of gets boring. So I think my dream, whatever it is going to have to change a little bit to keep me interested, at least.
Let's stop there. It's going to have to change a lot to keep me interested. There's no question that one of the complaints that I get an extraordinary amount from my clients is the lack of commitment, which leads to the high level of turnover in my client's workplace. And in fact, I had that conversation today. A guy told me, man, back in the day, you could offer a baby boomer a 40-hour-a-week job, have their weekends off. You give them a 401k and you give them all the perks and benefits that an insurance plan and all this kind of stuff. And they were pleased with that. And then you add some sweetness to it by saying from time to time, we'll offer overtime. And they were all in. The employees today, this guy went on to say, aren't as much interested in that. They've been trained by the gig economy to work when they want to. And the accumulation part of their life, the accumulation of stuff, doesn't seem that important to them. That was this one guy's point of view. I know I could find many of you out there that would say, no, the accumulation of stuff is indeed very important to them. But let's go back to the retention issue that is always an issue in workplaces, and that is, why don't people stay a long time? Now, to add some context, I am a Generation Xer, and it so happens that most Generation Xers who have children that are part of the iGen, which is what my daughter, Rainey, is. She's a member of the iGen. When Generation Xers entered the workplace, we were immediately tagged with this attitude of disloyalty. We weren't loyal to our workplace. You guys, you quit in jobs and you quit without having another job lined up. You quit without knowing where you're going. You quit just because you're unhappy. Back in my day, the employers would say to us when we were young and in the workplace, we never did anything like that. Well, we did the research. That's one of the things that my company does. We did the research. And we found out the baby boomers, when they were new to the workplace, young and new to the workplace, quit at even a higher rate than Generation Xers did. The baby boomers' claim to loyalty to their employer is actually false. And what I believe it is that people tend to want to remember themselves the way they wish they were. Let me say that again. People want to remember themselves the way they wish they were versus the way they really were. So all of us can complain about the hardships of high turnover in the workplace. All of us complain about the hardships of low loyalty from young employees in the workplace and point back likely to our days when we felt like we behaved differently and kids these days just don't do that. But the truth is, this is unchanged. It's unchanged since the post-Second World War era of young people coming to the workplace and finding and leaving jobs fairly quickly. One of the things that is new, though, is the push of our society to make the individual happy. And I can tell you that conversation is forthcoming in this conversation with my daughter. There's a lot of movement in our society about find your bliss. And this is something I mentioned to her in our interview, is these graduation speakers all over on every May go out and say, find your bliss, go make find a job that doesn't feel like work, and find what you were meant to do and all that. And I can kind of get behind some of that type of thing. But if that's what the youth are hearing today, then you know that a little bit of hardship on the job is going to equate to not finding the bliss. A little bit of hardship on the job is going to equate to, well, they told me to find a job where it didn't feel like work and I don't like this feeling, so I'm not so sure this is right for me. I'm going to add another context to this, and that is the management styles. What we know is that my daughter's generation, Rainey is her name, R-E-I-N-E-Y, Gen Z, have always had almost a peer-like relationship with adults. Now, in my house, we perhaps do it a little bit differently. We're fans of yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And when you get out of the deep South, you find less of that. But there's definitely not, and this isn't bad, there's definitely not a friendship with our children. We love them dearly. But we are parents and they are our children. And one of these days, they may become our friends when they're self-sufficient and things of that nature. But at this chapter in all of our lives, that's not a prudent move, my wife and I believe, with our children. But let's take this into the workplace because I think my wife and my relationship with our children is a little bit unique in that we really don't push a friendship with our children. We don't allow it. But most do, is my experience. And what does this mean for the workplace? What does this mean for you? Well, into the workplace walks a member of the iGen / Gen Z. They're under the age, or let's say they're approaching or just over 20 years old, just to make it more feasible for the workplace. And their entire lives, they've been kind of on a, and I'm using air quotes here, you can't see me, but using air quotes, friendship basis with people that look, sound, and act like you and me. Adults. And suddenly they're in the workplace, perhaps for the first time, and the relationship with people who have historically treated them like friends has suddenly changed. And they're wondering what's going on here. And if they've been primed to enter the workforce by being told, go find a job that makes you happy, go find a job that doesn't feel like work, go find a job where time passes freely and you don't even notice the passage of time, because when you do that, you found your bliss, and suddenly the employer is treating them very differently. They're maybe not asking them to say sir and ma'am in the workplace, but it's no longer a friendship. They're going to say, what's going on here? What's going on here? What is the solution to that? I'm not exactly clear. A big part of it is awareness. A big part of it is you saying, yeah, I can see how that may cause some frustration, and I can see how someone who's been told to find their bliss, to find a good job, suddenly feels something different and is saying, well, based on the advice that I've been given about the workplace, apparently I'm not happy here, and it's time to find something new. Let's sum that up before we get back into my conversation with my daughter. Since the Second World War, job turnover has been high in every generation in their 20s. Though most of us don't like to admit it, regardless of your age, if you're a boomer, an X, or a millennial, you likely had high job turnover in your 20s. There's no reason to expect anything different going forward. And in fact, with our message out there today of find your bliss, be happy in your job, and the treatment of parents and children when they step into the workplace, there's ample reason to believe that they may have a more difficult time finding their bliss and being happy in their job. And it's something that we need to know about. After this break, let's get back to the conversation with my daughter.
Paul Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business, same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
Hi, I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing in downtown Mobile. We make drinkable, flavorful craft beer perfect for life on the Gulf Coast. So pick up one of our six-packs before your next adventure or stop by our tap room for a relaxing afternoon with friends. Follow us on social media for the latest beer releases and events and ask for a Braided River at your favorite bars and restaurants. Thanks for your support. We look forward to sharing our beers with you.
This is Cam Marston, and I'm with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, if a homeowner thinks they have termites, do you offer inspections? What about someone buying a new home? Can you come in and take a look and see if there are termites in their new home?
Yeah, basically what we would do on a home above and beyond anyone else is we actually do a thorough inspection. But above that, we will use infrared imaging that will allow us to see problems in the wall. And at times can tell us if there's anything going on.
That's fantastic, Cajun Mike. How can people find you?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
King Solomon wrote, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed." The law firm of Cromwell & Associates has the legal counsel that can help your business succeed with experience in LLCs, corporations, and tax. I'm Eric Cromwell. Our law firm has locations in Mobile and Fairhope. Call 251-605-9075 or search for Cromwell & Associates on Facebook. And let's discuss how we can help you.
Back. I'm playing an interview with my 18-year-old daughter, Catherine Rains Marston, and learning how someone of this age sees the world just as she's heading off to college. And then we'll step out of my conversation with Rainey and I give some context to her comments. Let's get back into the conversation. What is the biggest problem you'd like to see solved? What one big problem would change the world for you?
Stopping the spread of COVID. I'm just kidding. But that's my biggest problem as of right now.
Because you guys have been told at Ole Miss you'll be in masks, right?
Yes. And maybe 2 weeks ago, it wasn't like that. So it's very frustrating. You're about to go to college in a week, and then they say you have to wear masks again,
yeah,
which was really frustrating.
So that's a good answer. Stopping the spread of COVID being the world's biggest problem that you would like to solve. What's number two?
Probably divisions of people. People are always looking. Well, what I said before about you versus me, it's never like in between. I think that people need to respect each other's opinion and not put each other down for what they think or how they view just because you're not the same way.
There are a lot of people that think that, and it's a beautiful attitude. There are a lot of people that don't live it, though. So it's a fairly simple question. What big problems would you like to see solved? Or what big problems would you yourself and your generation like to solve? Number one, COVID. Can't blame that. It's impacted every part of everybody's lives right now. And the youth today are almost at the ages where they've never known a day without it. I mean, it's only been with us 18 months or so, but still it's such a significant event. It's such a significant behavioral change to accommodate these COVID restrictions, these COVID behaviors, that we look at them as major challenges that the next generation would want to solve. And it's one of many things that have influenced their outlook on the world, their functioning in the world. Another one would have to be political divisions. Another one would have to be election disputes, which is kind of under the same banner. Another one would have to be global warming or climate change or whatever we're calling it these days. These are some major issues. These are some major struggles that this generation, our youngest generation, has been handed at a younger age that I don't think, frankly, any generation prior had had so many things. Now, those that struggled through World War II, undoubtedly, they have a claim to some significance of solving major problems. And while World War II is a big one, I don't recall the diversity of serious issues that existed back at that time. They were out there, but there are so many different ones right now. Let's go back to the conversation with my daughter. Have you seen people out there that you feel like have the, you know, the right approach, that are living examples of how to disagree? Do you see these people out there?
Yes, I do. I think Mom is a really good example of that. She, whenever she finds a opinion she doesn't agree with or a topic she doesn't know about, she likes to research it before she can say anything about it.
Yeah.
Which is a very good example of that.
Your mom does do a good job of trying to educate herself on mm-hmm. any issues that she, when she feels an emotion arise about a topic, she says, well, wait a minute. Let me go check this thing out to make sure mm-hmm. I understand it fully before I let the emotion run me.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what do you expect from college? What does someone like you expect from college?
I'm sure it's going to be so much fun. I expect to meet a lot of new people. I expect to figure out my major, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think that I'm going to have a lot of trouble figuring out my major. It's going to be tough, but coming out on the other side and finding something that I love to do.
Yeah.
A lot more independence and freedom. I'm going to have to learn how to not rely on other people to do my stuff, just become my own person.
Yeah. Do you know how many people have done that before you?
All of them.
All of them. That's exactly right. Yeah. What else do you expect from college? You know you're going to come out with a degree, that we expect that you will come out of a degree.
Yes.
Are there things that you feel like college is going to teach you that is more than just a degree?
I think it's going to teach me how to interact with people more in depth. I think it's going to give me some new experiences that I've never even thought about before.
Yeah.
New friends, new everything. It's just going to be very different from high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you looking? What is your thought as you're on the precipice of college? Excitement, fear, worry, anxiety? How do you feel?
I'm really excited for it because I know a bunch of people who are going. But my first anxiety is getting everything into that dorm room.
Right.
And then I'm just anxious. It's just very new. And I get nervous when something's new and I've never experienced it before.
Let's pop out of that chat real quick and make some points clear that I think many of you will obviously recognize. And the first is, she sounds like a normal kid moving to college in so many regards. What does she want to get out of college? It's a strange, new, curious, you know, amorphous world that she's not really sure what she's going to get out of college. She just wants it to be a lot of fun. And who can blame her for that? But let's face it, college has changed. It's changed since I was a kid, and it certainly changed when people for generations older than me. I remember when I went to college and they built the first rec center, and it had basketball courts and had a swimming pool, and it had handball and racquetball courts and whatever that game is that are played on similar courts whose name I can't think of. It was essentially an entertainment center. And then these schools began to compete with one another to try to get students based on their pools and their lazy rivers and their climbing walls and their smoothie bars that are in the entertainment centers and things like that. It became a competition for student dollars. And that's what I saw when we dropped her off at Ole Miss a little bit. The restaurants in the student center and things of that nature. So it's they are it's a place, let's say, it's a campus that people come and they're meant to entertain and hold on to the students. Versus those of us who went back in the day that was the campus, there were certainly activities on campus, but it was less meant about entertaining the students. Now, there would be Friday bands on the quad, and there would be pre-homecoming events and things of that nature, but it's gone even much further, such that her college experience will undoubtedly be different than mine and undoubtedly be different from many of you out there that graduated prior to 1991, and when campuses were smaller, when the population size on campus was much smaller, and the campuses were less designed for entertainment and more designed primarily for education. So what does she expect from college? She doesn't know. But I know this, that her experience after 4 years or however many it takes to graduate from Ole Miss, her stories at the end of those 4 years will be much different than mine and yours. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But we all try to relive our memories through our children as they're going through things. And I'm afraid that our college experiences, hers and mine, will be very different from one another's. Back to the interview. The next 48 hours are just going to be a train wreck for me. So I'm trying to gather information from my daughter about what her expectations are for college. And maybe in 4 years or whenever she graduates, we'll replay this and see exactly how well it came out. So back to you, Rainey. Boys. You've had some boyfriends in the past. But we had an educator in the studio here not long ago talking about the delayed development in boys today and the lack of academic ambition that they're seeing.
Yes.
And how it's manifesting itself in the marriages, in the workplace, things of that nature. When I attended your award ceremony for your class, I think maybe two or three boys won anything and 15 girls won everything else.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, what do you think about that? I mean, I'm assuming this is important to you.
I think it is important just because I'm very dedicated to my academics, and it's tough to hear that boys are kind of falling off the deep end and they're not going to be on the same wavelength that hopefully I will be someday with my academics. And I think that most of the boys that I've seen in high school think it's kind of cool to not do their work, or they fail a test and they're like, haha, that's funny, which, I mean, I don't think that's funny personally, but you kind of just go with it. You don't really say anything to them because they get kind of sensitive about it.
Right.
So that's what I've seen.
What does it mean for your future, though? I mean, one of these days, I assume you'll be thinking about a spouse, a husband, and those boys that have accomplished something that maybe somebody that you would like to pair up with at some point are going to be harder to find.
That's true. I think it's going to be difficult to find somebody on the same intellectual wavelength as I will be.
Well, that's the same amount of curiosity that's putting academics as important as you have. Yeah. I talked to a friend of mine not long ago. Her daughter is about to graduate from college after 3 years. All her classmates from high school won't graduate in less than 5 years.
Oh,
wow.
In
other words, she's come in, she's put her head down, and she's moved through her classes with great success. But her colleagues that she left high school with are 2 years behind her. What do you think about that?
Good for her. I mean, that's really impressive. But her colleagues are lacking, and it seems like they're going to college for the no parents part.
I'll admit that this worries me. Of all the shows that I've done, the one that I did with educator Blair Fisher about the hidden crisis of boys is the one that I think is probably the most important that I've done and worries me the most. The boys' lack of academic ambition. And just, let's see, September 6th, a article was published in the Wall Street Journal. That headline is, "A Generation of American Men Give Up on College. I Just Feel Lost." The subheadline, "The number of men enrolled in 2 and 4 year college has fallen behind women by record levels in a widening education gap across the U.S." Half the population, folks, half the population, not just the college people, but half the population are roughly not as ambitious as they've ever been in college. And the implications are far reaching, including what I go on to talk about with my daughter, which is not, we're not going to play it here, but her ability to find a spouse somewhere. If she's an achiever, is she going to be willing to settle in with, fall in love with a non-achiever? If she's a go-getter and has academic ambitions and has had ambitions, is she going to find a partner out there who has fewer ambitions? And that worries me. It really does. But we can't talk about it. It's so delicate to talk about because many people say, well, gosh, the males are still the dominant gender. How can we possibly say that they're not doing as well? Well, I think the future holds a different path. The future is going to be very different. And I'm not saying we should favor one or the other, but I sure would like that dang pendulum centered for my kids' sake, for my daughter's sake, to find a spouse someday. Real quick before we go to break, one of my friend's daughters is graduating from college in 3.5 years. Every one of her high school classmates, my friend told me, every one of her daughter's high school classmates will not finish, male classmates, clarification, male classmates, will not finish in less than 5. And there you have it. Let's go to break. We'll be right back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston.
At Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with a designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com, building legacies one relationship at a time.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our 3-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit springhilltoyota.com today. It's just that easy.
Think about how people really see you. The kid at the drive-thru just sees a coffee drinker.
Please pull forward.
Your local barista sees the person who loves a smiley face in their latte.
See you next time.
It's kind of the same way with insurance. Other insurance companies just see a customer, but a State Farm agent sees more. They see you as a neighbor. Your State Farm agent is here to get to know who you really are so they can help life go right.
Call me, State Farm agent Allison Horner, in Mobile at 666-1616.
I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing. We want beer that goes along no matter where the adventure takes us and that doesn't make us choose between great beer and drinkability. We're drawn to the Delta and united by beer because to us, the best way to celebrate the Delta is to slow down and savor the moments and the beer together. Come visit our tap room in downtown Mobile and ask for us at your favorite bar or restaurant. Visit online at braidedriverbrewing.com.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston in the studio this week with my daughter, my 18-year-old daughter. I interviewed her to capture her ideas about life and living in her childhood and thoughts before she heads off to college. She's a member of the youngest generation that we kind of have an accounting for, which is known as Gen Z or the iGen. And I'm pulling clips from our conversation out and broadcasting them and then kind of making some comments on them. So we'll get back to that conversation with my daughter. What do you think about your home, your family life, anything like that? Is it unique in any way compared to the people you'll think you'll meet from other parts of the country?
I think it will, just because, well, at least in Mobile, I've seen, I think my parents disciplined me a little bit more than other parents, but I think that it was in a good way, just helping me make my own decisions and become to think for myself. And I think that my parents did a great job of showing me that you don't deserve everything. You have to earn what you have, and like doing chores around the house just because just because I live there, I have to do these things. And even if it's chores for money, it's, I have to work for it. And it's just, it's not free money that I get. I have to earn what I have. I have to be a good student, a good sister to keep my car around, to have privacy privileges, that kind of thing. So I think that's been really valuable moving forward.
Let's pause here a bit and add some context to this. There's no doubt that she's kind of buttering me up here, and I can't blame her, and I frankly compliment her. It's a prudent move. One of the things that she didn't say that I heard in her comments is that she has noticed the parenting trends that go on in our house. All generations have parenting trends. My parents reacted to the trends of their time and raised my siblings and me under those trends, and I'm doing the same. We could spend hours talking about parenting trends and what those trends have done to the children who are now adults and in the workplace or the marketplace. But I'll give you a couple examples real quick. One of the parenting trends that we all, well, I'm certainly aware of, perhaps you are too, is called the helicopter parent. Now, the background on this, the helicopter parent came out of 9/11. And it was the baby boomers who were the parents of the youngest children at that time. And the baby boomer reaction, one of the many reactions to 9/11, was to become the helicopter parent. And that is to hover over the children, to be present with them. We don't know what the enemy looks like anymore. So I'm going to be there with them. I'm going to stand with them. I'm going to take a look and be careful and protect them in any way I can. That's number one of a helicopter parent, protect them any way I can. And number two, enhance their experience in any way I can. So those were the millennials who were receiving this parenting trend. And today the millennials are in the workplace. Certainly in the workplace, many, many of them. And that helicopter parent mentality has influenced the millennials in their behavior in the workplace, which is when I need something, people should be there and willing to help. When I want to talk about my situation, people should be there and willing to listen. When my group, when my team wants attention from the leadership, that leadership should be there and attentive and willing to listen. And it's one of the signatures of the millennials in the workplace is the demand for attention. It doesn't mean that they don't get work done. It's simply a demand for the attention. One of the parenting trends that I, as a Generation Xer, received as a child was the latchkey kid parenting trend. You may be familiar with this one as well. As Generation Xers were coming up, we were given a key. At least I was given a key every day. I went to school and would let my brothers in at the end of the school day into the house. And I would look after my brothers until my parents got home from work. And this was kind of a part of our rhythm of our life. As my father always worked, my mother went in and out of different jobs and projects and things of that nature. But the point, the latchkey kid, the Gen X latchkey kid, had to figure things out for themselves. And they were often told, don't call me at work. So we did. And that's one of the signatures of the Gen Xers today in the workplace is figure it out yourself. Yes, I know the answer to the problem you're facing, but you're going to need to figure it out yourself because you will own the process once you figure it out yourself. Again, a parenting trend that influenced me, a Generation Xer as a child, that today is manifesting itself in the workplace. So we look at my daughter's generation. What are the parenting trends influencing her? Well, one of the things that we know is that I and my peers are what's called a drone parent. We're not a helicopter parent. We're a drone parent. And drones circle way up high up in the air and watch out for things. You're familiar with drone strikes and things of that nature. My kids don't know I'm watching them. But through the technology available on my phone, I can. And I do. I know how fast they're going in their car and what street they're on, where they are and how long they've been there. And it's an app called Life 360, and that makes me a drone parent. The fact that I use that app, and I'll call them and say, how dare you be going this fast at this time of day on this road in this car? And incidentally, why are you answering the phone while you're going this fast on at this time of day on this road in that car? So the drone parents, what does it mean? Well, here's hypothesis. My daughter's generation, once they get in the workplace, will be somewhat accustomed to, but they won't like it. Just like my kids don't like being watched, they will be somewhat accustomed to being watched, to being on camera, to being accountable for their movements and their behaviors? How will it influence how much work they get done or their loyalty in the workplace, anything like that? I don't know. But we've all become a little bit desensitized to being watched all the time. This generation will be much more desensitized to it. And the workplaces that monitor them, they'll not have as much as a problem with it, is my hypothesis. Of course, the pendulum could swing the complete opposite way and there could be rebellion, but not as much a problem with it. Now, second parenting trend, and again, we could spend all day, but one that I want to talk about is what's called the nuns. And I've mentioned this on the show a couple times before. When people are asked to identify their religious affiliation, one of the options in the survey is none. I have no religious affiliation. Well, the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S, Catholic nuns, but N-O-N-E-S, the rise of the nuns is undeniable. I'm looking at a piece of data that my researcher gathered for me a while back. So it's not exactly up fresh to the moment data, but I think it tells the story. It reads religious affiliation by generation. The baby boomers, only 10 or 11% of them identified themselves as none. However, the millennials, there's 34% of them, according to this chart, that identify themselves as nuns. And at this rate, I'm guessing my daughter's generation, Gen Z, iGen, that's the name of that generation, it'll probably be well over 40, if not 50%, that identify themselves as none, as I've never had any religious affiliation. Now, my daughter and children wouldn't be able to say that. We've churched them from the get-go through their youth. They've always been involved in church services, so they couldn't say that. But their peers, their colleagues certainly could. Here's another piece of data. Attendance at religious services by generation. About 35% of the millennials have never attended a religious service. Let's be clear. I'm not telling you to run out and throw the millennial generation, or what we're talking about here, the iGen, into church. I'm saying their parenting trends, which is a reflection of their religious affiliation, have shaped them just like they've shaped you and me. And exactly how they're going to show up with these trends in the workplace, unclear yet. Let's get back to the interview. My favorite oldest daughter, folks, is headed to school. And beginning tomorrow, Friday, we will begin throwing stuff in the car and organizing this trip to college. Many of you out there have probably gone through something like this already, and you're, you know, hopefully smiling at this this internal conflict that I'm going through. Some of you may be in the position of my daughter, who is, about to leave home or has left home recently. It's a big life stage change in our household. She's the oldest of four. She's the glue of the kids right now, and we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
All right. If you're asking yourself, did I just hear his voice crack? The answer is yes. Taking her off to college was an emotional experience that I had not anticipated would be as big as it was. And it was. I've written about it and done some commentaries on my other show about it. But anyway, you'll be happy to know that she's been at college now for 3 weeks or so, 3-4 weeks, doing very well. Classes are going very well. Had her first sorority fraternity swap, which she said was as much fun as she's ever had, which worries a father, and is getting ready to spend the weekend in the Grove for their first home game as I record this. All right, we'll be back after this with final comments. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. This is Cam Marston. The Keith family has provided service to my heating and cooling system since my family and I moved into our home 12 years ago. And today, Keith Air Conditioning offers 0% financing for up to 60 months on new installations, making a new heating or cooling system for your home even easier to come by. Give them a call or find them online and let them come work their magic. Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Stella Artois is a perfect beer for celebration. Nothing caps off a big sale, hitting your incentive goals, or a profitable quarter like a round of Stella's. Brewed first in 1708 as a special Christmas brew, today Stella is a gift for everyone to enjoy year-round. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
This is Cam Marston with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, houses on pilings can have termites eat their way up inside the piling and enter the house. The homeowner never knows about it, but your company offers protection. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Cam. What we have designed is a program, and what we do is we will actually drill to the center of the piling and put a product in the center that will stop the termites from coming up into the home.
Stucco exteriors as well?
Correct.
How can people find you, Cajun Mike?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. I'm State Farm Agent Allison Horner, and that's why I'm right here in Mobile to help you select the right protection at the right price. I'll make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. With me as your State Farm agent, it's easy to make the right choice. You can come by, call, or click AllisonHorner.com. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is Jay Stubbs with Concourse Financial, and when I'm not working on an insurance plan with a financial advisor, I'm listening to What's Working with Cam Marston. Now back to the show.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That was a little different. We've not done anything like that before. If you're interested in characteristics and predictions of the next generation in the workplace, my researcher, Gerald Beerling, who I hire to do all my research, he and I are putting together a white paper that will be an overview using a lot of census data and what we can collect thus far about workplace characteristics for Gen Z / the iGen. And we will announce its availability via social media. Therefore, if you are interested, find me on social media, Cam Marston or Cam Marston 1, and all the different traditional social media outlets will be announcing that too. Speaking of announcements, mark this date on your calendar. We're back to doing events, hopefully. November the 4th, our focus will be succession planning. The agenda includes a succession planning coach who works with both the leader as well as their successor. It will include financial services organization that talks about how to make this work financially if you're the one leaving, if you're the one stepping out of the role. It'll include me talking about the emotional aspects of succession planning, and it might include a recently retired banker who will admit to having done his succession plan poorly and what it meant to him and what he would do differently. So if you're family-owned, this might be of interest to you. If you're not family-owned, if you're just a general corporation and still thinking about your successor, who's going to replace you, again, this might be of interest to you. That'll wrap us up for this week, everybody. Find the show, whatsworkingcam.com. That's the online address. Put that into your browser, whatsworkingcam.com. You'll see this show and all the ones that we've done bearing down on 200, which is very exciting. And you can find us on social media. You can enter my name, Cam Marston, into any of your favorite social medias, and you'll find me there. And I hope you'll follow me where we give show updates and offer insights into our guests and things of that nature. Again, Cam Marston, you'll find us on Instagram and on Facebook, and you know the drill, all those different places out there. The show is produced by John Thompson with Ion Digital. We'll have another show next week. Have a good week, everybody.